Blog Talk Radio.
Take all of me,
Everything I am, everything I have is yours. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Everything I am is yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm yours. I don't hold back anything. I don't hold back anything. Everything I have, everything I am yours. I'm yours. My dreams are yours. My future, yours. My possession, yours. My family, yours. My finances, yours. My talent, my gifts are yours. My whole body belongs to you. My agenda is yours. Everything I have, everything I am, 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 everything I have, everything I am. It's yours. Yours, yours, everything I am, yours. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. Everything I have is yours. All I want is your presence, Jesus. I just want your glory. I just want your presence in my life. I don't care about anything else. You can do with me as you please. I am yours. Oh Lord, I am yours. I am yours.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Lord Jesus, we come before you today as humbly as we know how. Lord, truly we thank you for all things. We thank you for our laying down and our waking up. Lord, we thank you for keeping your loving arms of protection around us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we truly thank you for all things. Some people didn't wake up this morning, Lord, but you allowed us, you breathed the breath of life into our bodies, Lord Jesus. And we thank you today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and we love you today, Lord Jesus. We thank you because you're so merciful. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace each and every day. We thank you for the little things. We thank you for the big things. Lord, truly, we thank you for all things. Lord, we thank you for just another day. We thank you for the weather, Lord Jesus. We thank you for our jobs. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our friends. Lord, we thank you for all things. Lord, we ask that those out there in radio land who do not know you, we ask you to touch their hearts, touch their minds, their bodies, their souls. Lord Jesus, deliver them. Bring them into the light, Lord Jesus, so that they may not know who you are, that they may see your mercy and your loving kindness and your grace and everything. Realize everything that you do for them. Lord, truly, we thank you for all things. We ask you to look on the mothers out there. Look on the fathers. Look on the saved. Look on the unsaved. Touch your saints, Lord. We know that they need your help, Lord. In this day and time, in the world in which we live in, we need your prayers, Lord. We need your strength. We need your mercy and your grace, Lord. We need you to continue to keep your loving arms around us. Look on this man of God as he brings your word, Lord Jesus. Someone out there, Lord, if just one soul One, thank you, Jesus. One unsaved soul, Lord, one backslider, one person that's on the fence, Lord, because we know that they have to get off. They cannot serve two masters, and let it be you, God. Push them over that fence towards you, God. Prick those hearts, prick those minds, Lord Jesus. Look on the children, Lord Jesus. You know, and the elderly, Lord, you know that only you can do what they need. Keep your loving arms of protection around them, Lord. Touch minds, hearts, bodies, and soul. Lord, we ask these things in your will, in your name, because we know that only you can do these things. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior.
Thank you for that prayer, for Vanders and training, Gina Kirk and God. We thank you, God, for that. I'm going to give you in advance so that you know what scriptures to read so that you can write them down. You're listening to Prophetic Outreach Chapel, LRMG. We're located at 12025 Griffin Road in Cleveland, Ohio. Amen. Our phone number is area code 216-538-043. And before I go before the throne, I'm going to list the scriptures for you. So the topic is, it's real. Can you say that with me? It's real. We're going to go to 2 Peter 2 and 4. 2 Peter 2 and 4. Then we're going to Revelations 20, 13 through 15. Then we're going to go to Luke 23 through 28. I'd like to give you the scriptures ahead in case that we don't finish the message before the broadcast ends. You can read them for yourself. We're going to go to Matthew 13 and 42. And then Matthew 25 and 41. And then we're going to Matthew 8 and 12. And then we're going to Mark 9, 43 to 44. You might say, Pastor, why so many? Well, you need to know there is real. Isaiah 5 and 14. Isaiah 5 and 14. And the last two, Romans 3 and 23. Romans 3 and 23. And the last one is Romans 10 and 9. And I will go back over them one more time for those of you out in radio land and in sanctuary that are writing them down in the book, in your notebooks. The first one is 2 Peter 2 and 4. The next one is Revelations 20, 13 through 15. The next one is Luke 23 through 28. Then the next one is Matthew 13 and 42. Then Matthew 25 and 41. Then Matthew 8 and 12. Then Mark 9, 43 to 44. And then Isaiah 5 and 14. And then Romans 3 and 23. Romans 10 and 9. Amen. If you're familiar with those chapters, you can kind of go with what I'm talking about when I say Israel. Amen. And let me go before the throne of grace, because I am nothing without the anointing, without the Lord breaking the yoke, without the Lord using me as an oracle for him. Father God, I come to you right now before your people. I ask that, Lord, that you sit on your anointing, Lord, that you open that he come. When I open my mouth, that you feed me first. Feed your people, Lord, because I know we need some bread from you in this last and evil days. Lord, I ask that you touch souls, touch minds, touch bodies. Lord, you know what needs to be done. So we ask you that in the name of Jesus, that you bind the enemy that comes to hinder. We rebuke pain, fear, and doubt right now in the name of Jesus. We bind every attack of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Ah, yes, Lord, send on your anointing in this place, Lord, that we can feel your touch and your power, Lord, that we're able to do your will and your work for your glory. In your name, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen. And I'm also going to use for a reference Merriam-Webster.com. All right. So those of you that went there, and if you also need to know for a reference, yes, it's okay. I use a reference because sometimes we need to define some words. Amen. You know, if you go to Bible study, at any, whether it be before service, Sunday school, or Bible study, sometimes you got to read and define what you're talking about so that you know what the intent is. Amen?
Amen.
Now, to reveal what's real, hell defined. See, we want to preach everything but self, heaven, and hell, but I want you to know there is hell, and it is real. Amen? As defined, hell a neither world in which the dead continue to exist. No, it's not about that. You know, so many people say, well, I exist, I'm alive, and once I'm dead, is all. That's it. There's nothing else. But I'm here to tell you to the contrary. We have people out there teaching there's no heaven, there is no hell, there is no sin. You just live your life, and when it's over, it's over. We even have someone, and the devil is talking about, the devil is out there preaching and teaching his thoughts, and that God is letting you know, I don't care what man says, the Bible's here to tell you that hell exists. Even the dictionary can define that there's a hell. The second one is the nether realm of the devil. Now, here is what the dictionary is saying. The nether realm of the devil and the demons in which the damned suffered everlasting punishment. Now, think about that. If Webster even realizes and talks about a hell, amen? The second one says a place of misery, torment, or wickedness. Then it's part B. It says a place or state of turmoil or destruction. Amen. Now, if you think that that's a place that you want to be, all right, then you go ahead and live your life. Amen. But see, we have people out here currently that say, we have someone who said he's God reincarnated, saying that there is no hell, there is no heaven, there is no such thing as sin. You can go ahead and follow him. And I want you to know, see, we are living in the last and evil days because he's teaching that the Antichrist doesn't mean what the Bible says, that he is the incarnation of the Antichrist, and it means something totally different. I'm telling you this, saints of God. When you read your Bible, you know you got to, it's called rightly divide the word of God. If the Bible tells you there's a hell, if God has told you there's a hell, if Jesus makes reference to a hell, let no man deceive you. There is a hell. And it tells about in the last and evil days that people will come called the Antichrist. Now I'm going to tell you this. Why would you submit yourself to getting tattooed 666? Saying that that is a sign that you belong to this faith, to this domination. But I'm telling you now, this Bible is talking about that, and really, when it lasts in evil days, that 666 is getting tattooed is not what they're going to need. They're going to need that signifies that signal in order to be able to eat, feed, do all other things, because without it, you get nothing. But here they are listening to the Antichrist. If you go to 2 Peter 2 and 4, reader, if you are there.
For if God did not clear the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment.
Now think about that. The angels on high, amen, that were in heaven, got cast out. Think about that. They were already in heaven. Now, you know, what could cause them to be cast out? How could they cause themselves to leave a paradise? What could they have done to have left that place? What could have happened for them to be converted over to sin? It said because, see, the angels sinned. And I want you to know that no sin of any kind is going to get to heaven. So if the angels sin, but God cast them down into hell, and guess what? The chief angel he cast down into hell is the devil. If there's no exemption, so that's what we need to know. There are no exceptions to the rule. We want to be going this day and time. Everybody's looking for a way out. Everybody's looking for a clause, you know, the option clause. Everybody's trying to figure out what does the fine print say. Maybe there's a way out. But I want you to know, in fine print, in large print, middle-sized print, Bible text, you can get in all kinds of prints. It is no exceptions. If the devil got stuff, you know what? The devil got beside himself because he thought he was all of that. I'm not going to talk about the devil today. That's another message. But I just want you to know, even in people in heaven, they were able to get beside themselves and sin. And he made no exception because they were angels. He kicked them on out along with their boss. So think about that. If the angels got kicked out, what does that mean for you or I? What does that mean for the average person? They're talking about the average Joe. Well, the average Joe better know that there is a road to toe and that you got to be accountable for, because there is no sin of any kind. There's no such thing as just a little sin. Sin is sin no matter what, and sin won't get into heaven. So there's a place for you to sin. You can sin all you want, but there's a place for us that sin. Next, if you will read the next scripture, please.
Revelation 20:13-15. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his work. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, and just in case you need to know that hell exists, and here he gives it up that, you know, that even the last days, it's how the sea gave up the dead. You know, many people are shipwrecked. You think about all the people that were in the Titanic, and you think about all the sailors and different folks in the military, how when they die, some people just get, you know, they just dump them in the sea or they die at sea. But it says here, in the last days, see, even what? The sea gave up the dead. God is over, commands the earth, that he commands everything in it. And it said, guess what? Those that were in hell. Now, if you don't believe it, it's there even in hell. They were already dead. In hell, delivered up the dead. And guess what? Even though they were dead the first time, they went and they were what? Judge. Every man according to their works. So while you're down here on earth having a good time, you know, the saints say, talk about a time, we're going to have a time. And we're talking about because when we get to heaven. But those of you think that there is no heaven, I want you to understand that everything you do according to your works, you're going to be judged. So you have to give an account one day. And it says, not only let's describe hell, it gives you a little extent with judge, and here's the sad part. They were then given into this. What? They already experienced the first death, but now they got to experience the horrible death, the second death. They were cast into a lake of fire. Now, I want you to know, let us know that not only does hell exist, but that it is a place where the dead goes. In addition, let us know that after judgment, when the judge are sent to hell, it is what? It is the second death. Third, it gives you a description, a lake of fire where hell is. Now, you know what? If you just picture that in your mind, you picture fire, and how hot it is. Just picture fire, and it's a lake, and that's where hell is. It has a lake in it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a lake of any kind that's fiery or hot. In Luke 16 and 23-28 says, I'll read it, I'll get it for you. It says, and in hell, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. Now think about that. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, and he was wet in torment. So now it wasn't like you go to hell, you know, when we go to dead with the people that are just dead, but here in hell, people are consciousness of that they're in hell. They are being tormented. I mean, they understand that where they are and what's happening to them. So it said, in hell, being tormented, he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried. Now, think about how hot this had to be. Said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Now, if you think about fire that you have experienced, how hot must he have been? He didn't say pour some water all over him. All he just said, I could just get a little drop of water, just a little drop of water on my tongue. How much misery he must have been in that all he wanted was just a little tip of drop of water, because he was in so much misery. For I am tormented. Now, here's the thing. Here we keep going back to the fire. I am tormented in this flame. So, there, for those of you who think about hell, don't know what it looks like, I'm telling you here, you know it has fire in there. You know that's where a place where you will be tormented. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Now think about that. So in other words, during his lifetime, he had a good old time, amen? He'd enjoy life to its fullest. He had a good thing, took all the good things. But see, while Lazarus was going through, Lazarus was working for what? He was working for his rewards. And so he said, now you are there to pay for the things of your life. And besides all of this, he said, between now, see, that's where people are confused. He said, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would ascend to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto him, lest they also come into this place of torment. Amen? Now think about that. He realized, okay, I live my life according to however I want to live it. Now I'm paying for this. I can't get even a drop of water. And now that I understand that because of my lifestyle, I am in this place. But oh, if you would just go and warn my brothers that that is what? It is what? Real. Hell does exist. It is real. Go and tell them about this place. Why did he want them to tell them about this place? Because he wanted them to what? Get their life together. Because there was no need for anybody to have to go to hell, because all they got to do is what? Turn your life around. Not do the things according to the flesh, not do the things according to this world, but why don't you seek the Lord? According to mlifescience.com. Now, I want to give you a picture. LifeScience.com. Lava. Lava. Now, think about that. You think about that picture. And we're talking about the lake of fire. Think about if you ever seen lava and a volcano explode and go off and what comes running down is just hot, 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 hot liquid. Lava can reach 1,600 Fahrenheit. 1600. And think about what's in hell is not even, this does not even come close to what's in hell. Amen? A volcano can reach 2,120 degrees Fahrenheit. Think about that. This is so intense heat that it will what? Melt rock. Yet it cannot begin to compare about the hellfire. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to a place which is so hot that it's hotter than anything I've ever experienced. And lava will melt rock. Volcano can cause flames to erupt and go ahead and form new masses. But hellfire is so hot, it cannot even be compared to lava. But here's the thing. Lava will what? Cool off. Volcano will cease its breath, so it won't be as bad. Some of them still erupt, but they don't come to the top. Now think about this. This is a lake of fire which does not consume, but constantly burns. Now think about that. If you fell into a lava pit, you will be burnt up, amen? But if you inhale, you will be hotter than a lava pit, and it will continually burn you, amen? There will be no ceasing to the burn and the torment of hell's fire, but it gets worse. See, I don't like many people that they say they're going to hell. Now, that's, you know what, and that's, I don't know why, but the devil said, well, they're going to hell. They said they're going to hell, but they're going to have a big party. I don't know why people think that they're going to hell to party, but they think that they're going to go to hell and party. They think that all things of the pleasure and leisure will be there waiting on them, or there will be things that they can take with them. Well, I want you to know, in hell, there's no air conditioning. Amen. In hell, there is no barbecue pit full of meat and barbecue sauce. There's no alcohol for you to party. If anybody, if anything, anybody is on the pit being barbecued, it'd be you. Amen. So I don't know about you. If you ever roasted a whole pig and took it on a spigot and turned around and watched the flesh begin to bubble and burst and all kind of things, can you imagine that type of a pig being on there? Imagine your own self being in there where you're constantly going through that, constantly being blistered, constantly going through the fire, constantly being tormented by the heat and the flames because it never consumes you. It just wants to torment you. Third, we come to the, you know, into the world. I want you to know we come to this world without anything. And when we leave here, we're going to go into judgment without anything but ourselves. Amen. So the people who think that we were partying and they think they're going to take all these things with them, I want you to know you left, you came here with nothing. You're going to leave here with nothing. I don't care what they bury you with. I don't care what they bury you in. When you go to judgment, nothing's going to be there but you. So therefore, it's not going there with you. Amen? Now, I want you to know the fourth thing. Guess what? The only people that will be partying in hell are the devil and his angels. Amen? And what they consider a party is what? Tormenting you. Tormenting those that have been given to hell. So I want you to know, don't be tricked into the belief that there is non-existence of hell. Hell, it what? It is true. Does exist. And while you will be thinking about that you're going to have a good time, you might want to consider that that is not the place for you. Amen? Then if you go to Matthew 13 and 42,
them into the furnace of fire. There will be welling and gashing of teeth.
Amen. Now, we can get a reference to, we know, they keep telling us about what? Fire, fire, fire. Amen. You know, when Moses saw the burning bush, it was a burning bush, but think about that. That bush never did get consumed, did it? Amen? But it was a burning bush. Now, that, think about it. If that is able to happen, where you said one example of fire that burned but didn't consume, think about hellfire. Now, not only do you have to deal with a furnace of fire, but should there be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now think about that. Anybody ever been to a well and heard anybody wailing? That's people crying out in what? Misery. They're crying, they're mourning, they're groaning, all in misery because of the tormentation. And it says there'll be gnashing of teeth. Oh, my Lord. I don't know if we say it in place, why, you know, why do you want to go to hell? And I would ask the question, what in hell do you want? Some people are such in a hurry, they live their life all fast. They're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to live to be 18. I don't know if I'm going to live to be 21. I'm not worried about that. I'm trying to live my life, and I'm going to live it to the fullest. So why are you in a hurry to go to hell? I ask the question again, what in hell do you want? Because I want you to know it's not a place where you can go down and have a good time. Because hell is a place made for torment. Hell is a place made for you to then go and go there and be accountable for your actions. So no matter what you think, no matter what people are telling you, I'm here to tell you that God said hell exists. God has given reference to what hell is like. And I want you to know it is no plaything. Why play with your soul when you know that alternative there is everlasting life? But here is everlasting tormentation, and it's a second death. It's one thing to die on this earth. People die from all kinds of things. They go through all kinds of suffering, all kinds of pain. Some people just die in their sleep. They go through all that only to go to the judgment and then have to die a second time, which is tormented. Oh, my God. He said, Philip, there is a punishment described here as part of the torment that we will be given to hell. Now, you heard that torment. You heard people were wailing. You heard people were gnashing their teeth, gashing their teeth. Why? Why would anyone want to go there? This means, doing we hear all these things, then we should want to examine ourselves, so that we don't be subjective to the torment because of the lives we live here on earth. I want you to know, it says that if the righteous scarcely make it in, every day we are in danger of hellfire. Amen? Because one day you can be saved, one day you can let the devil trick you, and then you'll be in a backslidden condition. God forbid that you would die in that state. Because then when you have to give an account, your mother won't be there. You have to give an account, your father won't be there. Nobody be standing there next to you. You're going to have to sit on the judgment seat and give an account for your actions. Matthew 25 and 41.
Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fires prepared for the devil and his angels.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed, and I want to receive God's blessing. The worst thing that can happen in your life and hereafter is to be cursed. Cursed. And then because of your curse, you are sent into not the fire that lasts for a season, not the fire that lasts for one day and burns you up. No, it says into the what? Everlasting fire, prepared for the devil. So you already wrapped up, prepared, and here the devil and his angels, like, you talking about party, going to have a good time. The devil and angels waiting, like, now you finally home. Oh, it's home. Because now you were already hard, but now you home, and we get to go ahead and torment you. This party is on. We can go ahead and take care of your black soul. I don't want to be in that condition, amen? Six, there's no mistake about the consequences for not living a holy life. It says we will be cursed and sent to what? A welcome crew in hell. Have you thought about, you know, when you get excited, when you got company coming that you know that you want to come, not those unexpected company, but I'm talking about those companies, somebody called, relative, whatever, alone, and maybe friends you have not seen in many years, or, you know, maybe family you haven't waited for, you haven't seen in a long time. You know how you get excited, you go, you make the preparations, all the things you do to welcome company that you know is coming. Think about that. If you get that happy about your company, think about how happy the devil and his angels might be when they finally have permission. Because beforehand, maybe the Lord had his hand on you, wouldn't let the devil do but so much. But now he's saying, go ahead, do it, it's yours, they're yours. Do whatever you want to do to them, that I'm giving you permission. My hands have been taken off, they're cursed, they're yours. Think about that when that day comes, when the devil has full charge of your soul. Thank you, Jesus. Next, we read Isaiah 5 and 14. Okay. Well, I actually want right here Isaiah 5 and 14. Thank you, Jesus.
Therefore, Shalah has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their crop. And he who is jealous shall descend into it.
Amen. Now, children of God, if we rejoice and delight ourselves in the things and the way of this world, notice, I said, in the things and ways of this world. I want to make it plain. You will impact hell. Now, hear that, what I just said to you. If you rejoice and delight yourselves in the things and way of this world, you will impact hell. So what do you mean, preacher? Because so many of us want to live every which way but the righteous way. And guess what? Hell keeps enlarging itself to accommodate us. In other words, make room for us. So the more people do, the more people that the devil has, and the more people that don't surrender, and more he can deceive, hell keeps saying, all right, he's just gonna make room, because truly that you will not be doing unholy and unrighteous things and come to heaven, because we already know if he kicked out the angels, what chance do we have? Amen? So you just keep on doing what you want to do, and you keep on impacting hell. Yeah, let's just keep on enlarging yourself, because think about how big this world is, how many people are so-called Christians. I'm not talking about Christians mean to be Christ-like. Think about how many people are actually saved, sanctified, Holy Spirit filled, trying to live the life that God has called them to be holy. How many people? Because you know what? We are in the time when the world is what's influencing us. Instead of the people of God influencing the world, it's all twisted up the wrong way. But still, there's somebody out there trying to live holy. Amen? There's somebody out there trying to live righteous. There's somebody out there praying and living according to the word of God. There's somebody out there reading their Bible and not being deceived. Romans 3:23. Thank you, Jesus.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
You know, we got some of us folks who think that we don't realize that we are not worthy. The first step is to realize where you are with the Lord. If you know that you're not walking with the Lord, you can't fool. You know what? You can fool other folks, but you can't fool yourself and God. God knows where you are, and you know where you are. So the first step is to realize what your relationship is with the Lord. It says, what? We all have sinned. So no matter how good you think you are, you have sinned. We know because some people feel, well, I got good morals. You know, I don't do anything wrong. I do things because this is the way I was raised up, and I don't do the wrong things. So you think because, you know, you are doing things morally right, that you live what you consider a good life, that you're exempt from hell? I want you to understand. You can do all those things, but if you search yourself and you have yet not have any salvation, not have surrendered your life to the Lord, then all thing you're doing is just living a moral life. You're still subject to hell fire, amen? You need to take time and get freedom from hell. living a life that we consider good does not exempt you from the hell fires. Amen? All right. Like Romans 10, 9 through 10. Thank you, Jesus.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has risen him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. Now, I'm telling you all these things to tell you that he is real because I don't want people to be deceived. You know, we're hearing all